Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Why are we having so many problems and difficulties? Well, we have a brand new booklet that you can write for. Why is Christianity failing in America? Another man wrote another book, and he started the book out, How Could We Be So Wrong When We Think We Are So Right? And isn't that true with human nature? And isn't that true with what people believe concerning God and Christianity? And now, because Christianity is failing, we have many more atheists and agnostics. And why is that? Yet when you read the Bible, which is the word of God that he spoke, that he gave to his prophets, they don't believe it. So isn't it an utter conundrum that things are upside down and backward, and we have all of these problems, and yet people don't know where to go? People don't know what the cause of the problems are. Well, they are because we have left God. They are because we have forsaken his word, and they will continue to multiply more and more. However, God says, in all of these problems, in all of these difficulties, God says that if you will return to me, I will return to you. Now, how do we return to God? How do we come back to God to know what we need to do? Now, if you have our new book, America and Britain, Their Biblical Origin and Their Prophetic Destiny, you need to understand that when the Bible is talking about Israel, it's talking about America and Britain. And there are many prophecies in the Old Testament that have a dual fulfillment. They were fulfilled once when Israel sinned against God and were taken out of the land and out into captivity. And then there's an end-time fulfillment for us, for the children of Israel today. So God tells us really clearly what we need to do. Now, there's a way to return to God that he shows in his word. So we're going to examine some of those things today and see that that also involves our coming to God. Because when we leave God, he leaves us. When we forget God, he forgets us. And so we have to return to God his way. Hosea 14 and verse 1. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have fallen because of your iniquities. The iniquities, the sins. And a lot of people think, well, I'm good and I live a good life, and I believe in God. But is that enough? Or is that really another way of sinning, but not realizing that you're sinning? So God says that if we come back to him, he will come back to us. Here in Isaiah, the first chapter is a really good example, because Isaiah is talking about all the 12 tribes of Israel. And since we are the people of God, one of the great sins that Israel has is to take the name of God and invent their own religion and call it God's religion, but it's not. It is theirs. So God tells us this. Let's come here to Isaiah, the first chapter. Because many people go to church on Sunday, and you need to understand, nowhere in the Bible does it authorize Sunday worship. And think on this. Is any man greater than God to tell him what he will do and to change his eternal laws? And if they attempt to change them or say that they can, then you're being led into sin if you follow that. And this is what has happened. All around the world, in every nation. But here in America, we still think we're God's people. Well, we are. But we're God's people having left God and forgotten Him. Yet we're still religious, still claim God. But notice what he says here in Isaiah, the first chapter. Verse 12, when you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? See, you don't come to God your way. Bring no more vain sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assembly. Now, those were their Sabbaths, not God's Sabbaths. And their Sabbaths were Sunday because they worshiped Baal. So God says, I cannot endure iniquity along with the solemn assembly. So God says, of your ways, of your days, of your celebrations, of what you do, it is all against God. Yet we do it in the name of God. So God says, your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul hates, not his. God loves his Sabbath, the seventh day. God loves his holy days because those are the appointed times which he has given so we can know God and understand him. And yet they are denounced from the pulpit all the time in Sunday-keeping churches. So God says, they are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now, here's what needs to be. To come back to God, you have to cease sinning. Then he says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil and learn to do good. Now, what is good? Well, the Word of God is good. His laws are good. His truth is good. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Do you love them? Do you believe them? Do you live by them? So he says, verse 18, come now, we come to God, and we'll show how we come to God. We come back to God by repentance. So he says, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Now notice the next sentence here. If. Now there are 1,700 ifs in the Bible, in case you've ever done a word search. And 99% of them apply to us as human beings. God is perfect. God is love. God is truth. God is all-powerful, and he punishes for iniquity, and he forgives sin upon repentance. And then we have to learn to do well. So he says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now stop and think for just a minute. Even here in America, do we have a lot of crime and difficulties? Yes, we do. And all of that is because we have forgotten God. So how do we begin to return to God? Now let's come to the New Testament, Acts the second chapter, which tells us that our sins are forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and through his shed blood. And you need to understand something very important. The one who became Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament. And he bore our sins and he bore our iniquities so we can come to God. And we come to God repenting. So think about this. Take the Ten Commandments. You go to Exodus 20 and read the Ten Commandments and ask yourself, how am I transgressing these commandments? And you will find that you're living in sin. And even the Apostle James said, if you break one of the Ten Commandments of the royal law, you've broken them all. So you need to examine your own life. Now, you know your own sins, really. Do you lie? Do you cheat? Do you commit adultery? Do you break the other commandments of God? Do you have idols? Well, you have to forsake all of those and come back to God. Now, here's a special occasion on the day of Pentecost after the sacrifice and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter was giving a tremendous message to all of those in Jerusalem, many of whom knew that Jesus died, many of whom knew that they couldn't find the body. And it was a great mystery. But the Jews were lying, saying, well, the disciples stole the body away. But that wasn't true. So Peter stands up on this holy day of God, the day of Pentecost, the day on which he began his New Testament church. And Peter gave a message explaining about Christ, explaining about the prophecies of it through David, and making it absolutely clear that David was still in his grave, but not Christ. He was raised from the dead. But he said, Acts the second chapter, verse 32, this Jesus God is raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. They saw him resurrected from the dead. Therefore, having been exalted by the right hand of God and having received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he poured out this that you are now seeing and hearing. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Then he makes a really profound statement. Now, not only does it apply to the house of Israel, which we are, but it applies to everyone that comes to God. There must be repentance. Not coming to God because we're good. Not coming to God because we're God's gift. We're coming to God because we're sinners. We're coming to God because we have forgotten him, and God has forgotten our children, and all of these problems are mounting against us. So here's what Peter told them there at the temple. He said, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know with full assurance that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, let's explain something here very important to understand. Jesus is also called the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, and that through his stripes and through his shed blood, we have the forgiveness of sins through the grace of God. Now, understand this, since God takes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and applies it to the sins of every repentant sinner. Every one of us had our part in killing Christ. Maybe not in the same direct way that these men do, because a lot of those who were there on Pentecost were out there in the crowd saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." So here's what Peter told them to do when they heard this. Verse 37. Now after hearing this, they were cut to the heart. That is the beginning of repentance. You have conviction in your heart that you have sinned, that you have gone against God, and you want to return to God. Well, this is where prayer comes in. You go find a quiet place and get on your knees and pray to God and cry out to him, "Oh God, forgive my sins." List them out. Tell God what you have done. You will shed tears. You will cry. You will understand that these sins can be forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he will begin to make a change in your life. But you then, with this, as he says here, you must change. They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, you have to do. You have to act upon this knowledge. And Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because the forgiveness of sin is given to each one individually. For the remission of sins, and you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, that only comes with baptism. That only comes after you have repented, and then you receive the Holy Spirit of God, which is the power of God, to lead you, to guide you, to help you, to open your mind to understand the Word of God, to realize that God has a plan for you, but you have to return to God. Then he continues and says, "For the promise is to you and your children and all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God may call." And that's why we have church at home, because God can deal with you spiritually, directly, in your home, through prayer and Bible study, through understanding the Word of God, so that you can learn how not to sin, so that you can learn how to overcome sin, so that you can learn how to keep the commandments of God and the righteousness of God. Now, let's come back here to the book of Jeremiah, because this tells us the attitude that we need to have concerning this and how we need to have it applied in our lives. The book of Jeremiah is a tremendous book to read and study to understand the sins that our forefathers, the children of Israel, committed and what God had to do to them. Jeremiah 4 and verse 1. Now here's that little big word again, if. "If you will return, O Israel," now you put your name there, says the Lord, "return to me. And if," see, you can't just tell God, "Oh, I've sinned this, forgive me," and then go out and sin again. There are some religions that sell indulgences. Now, what is that? That is forgiveness in advance for the sins that you're going to do. Well, God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't want you to continue in sin.
Leo's indulgence had a number of unique benefits. You could buy one not just for yourself, but also for your dead relatives. And it pardoned an astonishing array of sins. It was said that it would even forgive sexual intercourse with the Virgin Mary, had that been possible. Here was salvation in exchange for a sum.
That is pure, abominable licentiousness that men have invented for their own religion. If you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. He was telling them, I will hold off the penalty against you that I'm bringing upon you because of all of your sins that you are doing, that your fathers have done, that your children are doing. If you return to me, then notice what has to happen. Verse 2, and will swear, as the Lord lives, and this is how you need to live your life, in truth, which is the word of God, in judgment, putting the word of God together, in righteousness, keeping the commandments of God, then the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Okay? Now put your name there. Now, let's come here to the book of Hosea. Let's see what God also promises with this. God is merciful and kind and long-suffering, willing to forgive the sins, but God wants you to mean business. It's not just coming along and asking God to, oh, forgive me because I have a guilty conscience, and then you get up and continue living your life the way that you have been living it, see? Hosea 14 and verse 1. O Israel, put your name there. Return to the Lord your God, for you have fallen because of your iniquities. That's the way it is with every one of us. And God will send his Spirit to deal with you. And then you will learn to love God for his mercy, for his truth, for his goodness, for his kindness, for his graciousness to you. You have fallen because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord, the word of God. You study the word of God. Now, what happens when you study the word of God? God is speaking to you. Well, you're not going to hear his voice, but what you're going to do is read the recorded voice of God for you. And these words in the Bible are made so that everyone can use them. Everyone can benefit from them. But you have to come to God. Return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all our iniquities. Receive us graciously that we may repay you with the sacrifices of our lips. That is by love and by obedience and by serving him with all your heart. Then you learn to love God. Now let's come to Psalm 90. Now the Psalms are very good for helping you to understand God and how to pray. And as a matter of fact, we have a whole series on prayer. 21 messages on prayer, covering all kinds of prayer. And the prayers have to be from the heart, not memorized things that you just recite, like the Lord's Prayer. No, from the heart. God is talking to you from his word, going into your mind, and you are talking to God in your prayers, and God will hear. Psalm 90, verse 1. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Yes, God is there all the time because he's eternal. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now let's notice something very important here in verse 3. You turn man over to destruction. Now how does he do that? Let me ask you a question. Do you have problems and difficulties in your life? Why do you have them? Because you have forgotten God. You have turned your back on him. You have transgressed his laws. So you have these troubles. Just like the law of gravity, as I brought out many times. If you break the law of gravity, you're going to stumble and fall. Likewise, you transgress the laws of God, there are going to be things that will come upon you to correct you. So this is why these things occur, for the very reason of bringing people back to God. Now the rest of verse 3, and say, return, you children of men, return to God, and he will return to you. Repent of your sins, fear and tremble before God, have a contrite heart and a contrite spirit, and then you begin to learn to love God. Now, we have a short series on Church at Home, the love of God. And that's the whole key in solving the problems and difficulties in your life. Now, is not the time to solve all the problems in the world. So that's why Church at Home, so that God can deal with you directly in the privacy of your own home. And then you can learn the truth of God. Then you can understand who God is. Then you can develop a relationship with God. And that's why we have Church at Home, for these very reasons. So if you return to God, God who cannot lie has promised, I will return to you. So now is the time to search the Word of God. Search your heart, search your mind, search your soul and being. And come to God in repentance, and he will forgive you, and he will blot out your sins. He'll put them under the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you need to take the next step when you are ready to be baptized. So this is part of how you return to God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying until next time, so long, everyone.